Welcome back. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic piece from James Corbett. As always, he doesn't mess around. The Information Industrial Complex, published yesterday, including transcript and sources on his website, which is the way to do that if you're going to do that on YouTube. It's how you guard against malfeasance, so to speak. So, just a few comments on the video. Nukes, you heard throughout the video. The information systems that regulate nukes there have been several documentaries. It's been the subject of a few documentaries, the archaic, antiquated systems, technology systems that regulate the nukes. And in this context, when you think, for example, some of the clips that we've played, the things that I focus on, like the May 29, 2009 Obama announcement on cybersecurity and that strange interview Warren Olney did, another czar in the Obama White House, in which John Arquilla said, "My master hacker friends say there are no such thing as firewalls." When you understand that, then the antiquated systems are maybe actually a safeguard, because updating would create more hijacking vulnerability than not to update. Makes sense? Which puts disarmament in a whole new context, right? Because suddenly, as John Arquilla, Tom Kellerman, and the others were talking about in that interview, the nukes around the world are vulnerable to hacking. They always were, but the capability is far greater now than it was back then for anybody with just about any device to be able to hack in and do bad things. Yemen and Saudi Arabia in the headlines, might as well throw North Korea in, obviously, because of the WannaCry nonsense. Every day, as I was saying, we get fallacious reporting on ostensible bad guys, Yemen, Iran, North Korea, even Syria still. You know, it kind of goes in waves, but, you know, Yemen is an impoverished country that has been brought completely down to rubble, and yet somehow we're supposed to believe that the latest news today is that somehow Shiite rebels in Yemen are launching rockets at Saudi royalty. It's just utterly absurd. Maybe they're hoping, as Jimmy Dore pointed out in the clip we played earlier, that Saudi Arabia will shoot food rockets back at them. So Saudi Arabia and Israel, we are told, are the ostensible good guys in the region, which is completely fallacious. Nothing could be further from the truth. As I always say, when you look at what's really going on, Israel, the so-called state of Israel, and the so-called country of Saudi Arabia are ostensible good guys in the region, but not really. Israel, this counterfeit Israel, the so-called state of Israel, is the worst human rights abuser on the planet. Those aren't my words. That's according to the UN Human Rights Council. I'm not a fan of the UN or any of its functionaries, but even the UN knows. And I've commented lately, you know, this SPCA issue has come to the attention of groups like the NAACP, the ACLU, the SPLC, when those groups that historically were kind of seedbeds for Marxist, communist, radical ideology suddenly become the vanguard of society, not suddenly, but, you know, suddenly at glacial speed. When that happens, the vanguard of liberty, that's, you know, you know you're in trouble. That's where we're at today in America. It's insane what's happened. We have lost our minds. We've become detached from reality, completely unhinged, drifting in Romans chapter 1 fashion, headed for disaster in America. And it all centers around that verse, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. And from then on, we see the unraveling. You think you're smart? We think we're so smart in America today, don't we? We just got it all figured out. We've been encouraged to emulate these ne'er-do-wells who want to think for everyone, take choice away, just completely eradicate choice from the American lexicon and really the world. But I digress. So in Orwellian fashion, Yemen and Saudi Arabia get flipped in the headlines. Saudi Arabia, good guys. Yemen, bad guys. Oh, yeah. Where's Yemen's deal? Where's Yemen's $110 billion arms deal? Who's shipping weapons to Yemen or Lebanon or Iran? Folks will say, well, Russia is. Yeah, but as has been noted, Russia's economy is smaller than that of France. So are we really talking apples to apples? Is it really that great of an existential threat? Yeah, but ISIS can hack things. Come on. Any capability that anybody gets anywhere comes from the same guys. There are no sides. The 330 mark, right around there, you heard James talk about the completely fictitious missile gap threat. And I say RAND Corporation stovepiping Intel, anyone? Which is the same thing that always happens. You know, we hear about this intelligence. It's nonsense. Only to discover later, oh, well, you know, we were misled. The Bush 2 administration talking about Iraq, weapons of mass destruction comes to mind. That is the premier example of stovepiping. 530 mark, a government contract becomes a substitute for intellectual curiosity. Yeah, and not just in the technocratic regime, not just in the information industrial complex, but you know, you look around, this is kind of the new way to do things. You know, look at what has happened. We need to play that video. I mentioned Abby Martin's interview recently, the Biostitutes interview is what it was. We need to play that. Maybe we'll play that in this broadcast. That'd be a lot of information in one broadcast, but it's the new model. I've talked many times about how even the many former editors-in-chief of the medical journals have come out. All of the top medical journals, several of the former editors-in-chief have come out and said they're all corrupt. People get bought off to write articles. Hey, you have a great reputation. Will you write an article? Maybe, you know, go give some speeches, 4, 5, 6, maybe 8 speeches over the next year or 2 years. Pushing our product, essentially, and we'll pay you handsomely. We'll reward you handsomely for that. Eh, sure, why not? So government contract becomes a substitute for intellectual curiosity. Or, you know, the FDA or any litany of ostensible regulatory bodies, same thing. Government contract becomes a substitute for intellectual curiosity. That was from Ike's farewell address. 620, opposite danger that public policy could itself become something of the scientific technological elite. Basically captured, public policy could be captured by, oh, you mean the scientific dictatorship Bertrand Russell wrote about, or the cybernetic totalism Norbert Wiener wrote about. In short, this present technocratic dictatorship. And you will recall Peter Thiel, top-level technocrat, at the talk that he gave at the Mercatus Center, George Mason University, back in 2015. I think it was March 30th, I want to say, where quite a ways into the talk, about an hour into the talk, he said, you know, in responding to questions, one question he responded to, he said, I think calling our society a democracy is very deeply misleading. We're not a republic. We're not a constitutional republic. We're actually sort of a state that's dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies. You listen to pundits talk about, you know, how would you feel if you're if you realize, I mean, Judge Jeanine Pirro did a segment last night talking about, imagine if you heard that your vote didn't matter. I don't know where she's been, but this is not news. Martin Gillens, Benjamin Page, I mean, it's the same. The study Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page did, reflecting on 20 years worth of data, where they said multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests, fascist interests, have substituted have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence. Yeah, your vote doesn't count. My vote doesn't count because we haven't heeded the warnings of history. We lost control of the purse strings, and now these technocratic agencies that have essentially carried the de jure government off, whether, you know, I agree with John Adams, whether Constitution or Confederation, at this point, that's not the issue. The entire system has been hijacked and carried off by technocratic agencies. That's just a fact. Now Elon Musk says, hey, we're going to dig 3D tunnels under LA. Did anyone vote on that? Nope. Doesn't matter. And for those thinking things are going to change dramatically in this president, I reflect back on CBS Money Watch's piece titled Donald Trump's $14 billion cabinet. President-elect Trump's $14 billion cabinet. President-elect Donald Trump rode the winds of a populist movement. Sure he did. As he used the interstate cross-check system to scrub over a million votes. And funny how we don't hear about that on the mainstream press on either side. Isn't that interesting? Zero. We heard a little bit about Kris Kobach's work on the interstate cross-check system, and that just kind of quietly went away. And then the voter suppression work we heard a little bit about with Cambridge Analytica and Michael Kaczynski's work. Again, voter suppression through social media, Facebook in particular, targeting certain Democratic folks who would turn out and sending them covert ads to suppress their vote. So where Democrats used to go to the cemetery to bolster the voter rolls, now Republicans are sequestering votes and voters. Anyway, President-elect Donald Trump rode the winds of a populist movement into Washington, D.C., promising to root out money from politics. Yet when picking his cabinet members, Mr. Trump is surrounding himself with a historic level of wealth that's at least 50 times greater than the cabinet of George W. Bush. So far, Mr. Trump's cabinet picks have a combined net worth of more than $14 billion, based on estimates from Forbes and other sources. Given that many positions have yet to be filled, it's likely that the total will increase in coming weeks. That was a while ago. It's more now. So the argument is, yeah, but they're, as Trump would say, they're really good at what they do. They're great people. They're the greatest people. They're good at being great. They're really fantastic, believe me. But who is going to bet that Tiger will change its stripes? These are folks that constantly, folks like Steve Mnuchin, who constantly seem to find a way to wire things up so that they benefit, directly or indirectly. And speaking of that, benefiting directly or indirectly, it was interesting, the video saw a video yesterday concerning the net neutrality issue, which is, again, just another put-up job. Bright Insight. This is what they didn't tell you about FCC repeal of net neutrality. There are a few too many colorful expletives. They're not terribly offensive, but a few too many for us to allow that to be played. But what was interesting, I think, in it is the focus on AgitPay. AgitPay, like AgitProp, only getting paid for it, you know? So Jimmy over at Bright Insight, I think, did a fantastic video. I don't agree with everything he does, but he does some great work. And his focus on AgitPay was great. Being a former, one of those guys who is a former forensic auditor of sorts. I don't think that's his official title, but that's close enough. It's interesting, he mentioned, talks about how, I don't know, maybe we should just play that segment. There were a number of companies, AgitPay mentioned some companies, left out Verizon, and Jimmy suggested that AgitPay should be audited, as the other two commission members who were responsible for the recent repeal of net neutrality, they should be audited for how many shares of stock they own in these big companies. And really, net neutrality comes down to the old African proverb, when elephants fight, the grass suffers. Because these elephants are jockeying. It's just big corporations jockeying for information superhighway position. And they will benefit. They keep somehow they always manage to benefit. Meanwhile, the little guy keeps getting squeezed. Actually, it's the middle guy. The little guy's always been squeezed. It's that middle. It's the middle class that keeps losing and losing and losing. So we'll see. You know, in fairness, Donald Trump's kind of been saying the same thing. You know, the Dow is doing fantastic and there's all this great stuff and we're just winning, winning, winning. Yet we're seeing the same kind of things that Obama was ignoring and neglecting when he was saying that we were seeing recovery that we weren't seeing. Anyway, Jimmy's Bright Insight video, this is what they didn't tell you about FCC repeal of net neutrality, is a great video, great 9-minute video, if you have a chance to watch that. I almost think we should play a clip from it. He does a good job of pointing out that exactly what I'm talking about. The fix is in. When these guys are supposed to be providing regulatory oversight, yet they always manage to find a way to benefit handsomely. whether directly or indirectly. And shouldn't there be some kind of conflict of interest there, you would think? And then, of course, there's graft and corruption and greed and all of those things that come into play. But again, the FCC is an independent agency, isn't it? Did you elect AgitPay? No, you didn't. Did you elect any of these FBI officials? See, this gets right to the heart of the issue of the administrative fourth branch. It has usurped the three duly constituted branches, which now has been superseded by the technocratic architecture that pontificates from on high and directs the administrative agencies that have hijacked and usurped the three duly constituted branches. So we have this superstructure, and the technocrats are way up in the stratosphere, so high that if you don't have some kind of technology to be able to see them up there, the average person doesn't see them, if that makes sense. And all we ever hear about is what's in view, the constitutional architecture and the Bill of Rights, which we don't hold to in orthodoxy by any means. We keep hearing about it. It's confusing, but it's supposed to be, in part. The right, you know, Fourth Amendment we hear about all the time, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. That's been completely adulterated. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. The operative concept was that at any time the people could say, wait a minute, hold on. A group of people could get together and say, hold on, back to the First Amendment. We are petitioning for a redress of grievances, and we're going to stay right here until we get this all sorted out. But now who has the ability? The only people with the ability to take a moment to breathe are the people who are benefiting from this corrupt system that has been superimposed over the constitutionally orthodox system. So again, whether constitution or confederation, I think that's the bigger issue. If we could strip away that superimposed architecture, it's like one of those playground grids over the Constitution, then we could have a legitimate discussion about constitutional orthodoxy and perhaps returning to the Articles of Confederation, but we can't even get to that because we keep watching the what is presumed to be government hijacked and carried away. First it was the administrative fourth branch, and then the technocrats took that and ran with it. Anyway, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Renee.
Okay, I had it on mute. I'm sorry. You caught me by surprise.
Hey, Renee.
great James Corbett clip.
Yeah.
He is definitely one of the brighter bulbs. Everything you said, he's able. In fact, it's one of those things you should probably, to absorb everything you said, people should probably go back and listen to it 2-3 times, okay?
Absolutely. In addition to that, I would only add, if you're not intimately familiar with each point, go research it, because he's giving you high points on, I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. It's one tip and another tip and another, and those are all, you know, important points that he's making.
Absolutely. And I want to say, I was raised Republican, joined the Democratic Party in disgust for a very short time, But once you catch on to one side, you catch on to the other side faster. And I've been independent for many years. And so I think maybe it's because I'm an independent that I can kind of see both sides. And, you know, we used to really talk about the right-left paradigm and not playing it a lot in this genre. We don't do that anymore. I'm going to say something that people have probably never heard before, ever, okay, in this type of genre, because there is this tendency to promote the best aspects of your own religion or economic system and leave out the bad parts and do the opposite to your, like, opponent, because let's face it, that's what it is at this point. You know, because I do not believe in either. I'm in the middle. I'm not saying either system, but I think we need to have a discussion without just throwing bombs at each other, okay? Nobody ever talks about the dark side of capitalism, how it pits people against each other. Football and stuff like that. No. How about when you have people in an economy like we do today, where it pits people against each other to try to get enough money to meet their basic survival needs? I really believe where it takes sometimes moral people that would generally be moral, but it puts them in such a desperate situation that they are pushed to do things that they would not ordinarily do, like a salesman might lie, or a person might see their only option is to join the military to go kill people in order to get a job. I think the military-industrial complex depends on our capitalist system with our reduced safety nets and to push people into doing jobs that they normally might not want to do if they had a choice, okay? Sure. You know, when you see the rich people that we do with this ridiculous tax thing, I can't believe people think this is not going to benefit the rich. When we see the immoral things these people who are very comfortable have, those big pensions, they have boku bucks, they're not worried about their survival needs, just more greed. The immoral things they will do to get more money, it's quite amazing to me that poor people are able, when they really are threatened with not having enough money to meet their basic survival needs for food and shelter and medical care and dental care and stuff, that they have been able to remain as moral as they have. This is never the negative side of competition, where a salesman might lie to you, you know, when you're buying a car, he knows the transmission's gone bad, when he wouldn't do that if he wasn't so scared to death because he needed rent money. I'm saying that we have to look at the light and dark of both systems, and people do not do that.
Well, because I agree, which is why I've tried to address that. And we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs, which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit
heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, December 19th, 2017. We're on the phones. We've got Renee in North Carolina on the line. Renee, you were talking about the dark side of the system. Speaking specifically of capitalism, you said the salesman who will lie, or what was the other big example? I missed the other example.
Like maybe joining the military. What about all these contracts?
Or the military.
Yeah, like George Carlin said, they need the poor to scare the hell out of the middle class, keep going to those jobs they hate. What about, maybe some of these people might have a conscience and not become these contractors in order to maintain their middle class lifestyle if they weren't so desperate. You know, they're destroying the good part of the middle class, like small businesses and stuff, but they encourage the bad part of the middle class that takes these jobs to
be bad men
for them.
Going back to your point about the media coverage, I was noticing it yesterday, watching specifically, you know, like the Morning Joe stuff, you cross like MSNBC with Fox, and it's WWF. It's good theater. You know, these sides being collided, and really what's happening is the balkanization of America. Folks are being drawn further and further apart in these little eddies of information, kind of like we were talking about yesterday. Again, Dr. Afia Siddiqui is to me the textbook example of information we would consider laughable, but she's, you know, a brilliant woman who's not crazy, or, you know, wasn't considered crazy when she first came here to America. But she's hearing a different message clearly than anything Americans would ever think you would hear about the United States government. As bad as we think it is, I would never imagine that we would hear a message that the United States government is converting Muslims to Christianity at gunpoint. That just sounds absurd. But that was literally the message she was getting when she got here. So we see, even just in Fox and MSNBC or CNN or whatever, the sides are widening. The disparity between the middle is widening. And it's interesting to note that it's like the devil has mastered the weaponization the weaponization of information, basically taking the information that would appeal to both sides. It's like they take the bad part out of the information and put that in each side of the discussion, instead of taking the good parts so that people are drawn closer together and at least able to have a discussion. They take the bad parts, weaponizing the information, and almost, you know, ensuring that there will be a collision of forces and sides, if that makes sense.
You know what they're doing? They want us to turn into like desperate rats scratching each other's eyes out for a piece of bread. That's exactly what they're doing. And they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And really, actually, it's a testament to a lot of people's character that they haven't flipped out already and gone after them.
Absolutely.
You know, poor people that are struggling. You know, like, have you ever seen where they all of a sudden assemble these doctors and dentists and stuff, and they'll have these free clinics, and they'll set up someplace, and wait, it's mostly white people, a lot of rural white people that show up for this, where they go and they stand in line and they sleep overnight and everything else just to get some basic medical care. It's horrible. Okay, and so, like you said, the richest country in the world, the homeless, we can't do better than this. You know, we have to be somewhere along the line, we went terribly wrong. And you know, Jesus teaches, you know, you're supposed to really honestly look at yourself. And I don't find people can do that. And we need to be able to honestly look at ourselves and as a country and where we've gone wrong and stop it, okay, and repent. The thing is, what we're doing going around is just so awful. But I have found people do not have the courage to face the truth and the mental gymnastics they will go through in order to protect their psyche and the lie that makes them comfortable. And some of the worst I've ever met are white evangelical Christians. I just had to dump another, quote, friend, okay, because, you know, for, like I said, because, you know, she claimed to be a Christian, but after years of knowing her and trying to work with her and trying to hint to her, like, you do selfish things that hurt me when I am very generous and giving to you, you know, I finally snapped. I couldn't take it anymore. You know, when you have talked and tried and talked and tried and talked and tried.
Yeah, here's the thing, and all of that, I got to say, you know, we have to acknowledge the Bernaysian propaganda, I'll just call it, that has been on the rise, obviously, since Bernays fused Uncle Sigmund's work to Madison Avenue marketing. And all of the things that you mentioned incorporate that. For example, the sales model that those car dealerships that folks will conveniently not tell you certain things about is built upon Bernaysian marketing techniques. You know, it's the dialectical model of creating the pain. You know, you create the scenario, you ask questions so that you can get them to feel the pain so that you can present your dialectical solution, problem, reaction, solution. And of course, we can't discount the Bernaysian, you know, what the Tofflerite prosumer model in that, or in the military, again, Bernaysian propaganda, you know, Orwellian terminology comes into play. When it comes to Christianity, we can't discount the same forces at work in the National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, propagandizing even non-denominational organizations. People don't know what true Christianity is, I don't think, in large measure. When they'll go to a place that they call church, which is not the ecclesia of the New Testament, but a corporate building that owes its allegiance to what system, and as a result, they hear talking points that we need to support the counterfeit Israel, and we need to go bomb people somewhere around the world. And in addition to that, you see headlines like the headline today, science teacher. See, this is Fox, who is, you know, they're part of the neocon side of the discussion, if you will. And even they're running the headline, science teacher 27 accused of sending nude pics to teen boy she met via Xbox. And that's in conjunction with another story, former Christian school teacher 29 accused of being caught in bed with teen boy by husband. So they have to put former Christian school teacher in there. You know, these are the kinds of headlines that every media outlet is running. And so we can't discount that. You're the one who, you know, we talk from time to time. You're the one who brings up Philip Zimbardo's work and the Lucifer effect. We've talked about political ponderology or ponderology in general. Folks don't realize how people get conscripted to evil, and the Lucifer effect is quite literally how young people are being trained going through the various post academies around the country. If you know someone who's gone through a peace officer standards and training academy and they came out the other end different, it's called the Lucifer effect, quite frankly, folks. And you've spoken to that, right, Renee?
And you know,
so we can't discount those things.
Yeah, oh, I'm not, but it gets old because we see no change. You know, like there's that saying, never argue with a person whose livelihood depends on not being convinced. Particularly, I find the people involved, you know, a lot in religion stuff, but I have to tell you this, like, and I'll tell you, some of them don't even believe what they're saying. I'll tell you a little story before. They don't believe
because we need to go back to the phones in a second.
The thing is, I stumbled years ago when we first got computers across this atheist website, and I would go in there. I was able to be a voyeur to see, you know, what was going on, and there were Christian preachers going in there, desperate looking for help, and because they admitted that they no longer believed what they were saying, but they felt stuck. Okay, so the thing is, what I'm telling you people, a lot of these people in these churches, particularly the ones that are making a lot of money, they don't even believe what they're saying. They're standing there for the money and stuff. There are a few that have left. They're like, there's this guy, Jerry DeWitt, who was a Pentecostal preacher for 25 years, and he finally left. But it's like some of them leave, but a lot of them, no, they don't even believe it. They're like actors. And like I said, they are leading. They're taking the easy route for themselves, going, taking that wide road, doing nothing to threaten their tax-free status, amassing their real estate wealth, taking those cushy houses and deals. And people need to understand, these people often don't even believe what they're telling you. These are some of the worst people on earth.
Well, I appreciate your sentiments as always. I think that's oversimplifying personally. And I think the remedy is to get knowledge up. I think people get conscripted to that in large measure, and it's normalized, unfortunately. So I think there's more to the story, but anyway, you've definitely made a case for it. So folks can go investigate for themselves. Anyway, thanks for your call, Renee. Appreciate it. We're going to have to go back to the phones. Let's go back to the phones and grab Jim in Illinois. Jim, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, Jim.
Anyway, I had planned on calling him, but I just couldn't help but bite on it. The bait. I couldn't help but take the bait. Anyway, I say I am a weaponized rat. And my rat compatriots are at the ready to scratch your eyes out should you attempt to halt the revolution of our wheel. And that goes to part of the subject matter is being discussed this day. That wheel is the superimposed architecture you were talking about, this contrived playground. I would say, and some people would say built on top of, I'll just say built on top of the what we go by, the memorialized Constitution, those organic laws of this nation.
Mm-hmm.
You said we basically have to, gird ourselves to study. And this is where I would start. And, I'm going to use my name here, and I'm going to read something. Jim shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of other men to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So, you know, I would suggest to people who listen and have access to this fine document that they put their name in those appropriate places like that and incorporate that in their daily life. Getting back to this superimposed architecture, this contrived playground. Again, I've said it before. This is a board game, a jurisdiction, where specific rules and terminology apply. These board games, I would say, were put together by the ruling class, or those we perceive to be the ruling class, or they perceive to be the ruling class in their own eyes.
They are James high Corbett priest. Says those the powers that shouldn't be.
Correct. The high priest and priestesses, this fraternity that goes back into the depths of time, and because they are able to build these architectures, these contrived playgrounds, board games, etc., whatever label you want to put on them, they are able to spin off several different things: fascism, communism, socialism, capitalism, and ismism, you know, and all of these lend themselves to be compartmentalized and allow plausible deniability. There's no cross-referencing, so to speak. And when we try to apprehend the world about us and what is going on and how we are being manipulated, we get caught up in all these various terminologies in these compartmentalized contrivances.
Yeah.
And with that, I know there's somebody else waiting. So, hey, man, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Jim.
Blessings of liberty.
To you as well.
Right.
You know, I get the visual image of the beehive and how everyone's compartmentalized. And like Jim said, plausible deniability. Nobody knows what's going on in throughout the combs of the beehive. And that's why the beehive is an esoteric metaphor that's used quite often, and symbolism that's used, because that's what's happening. And it's the same, as we were saying yesterday, the same stupid human tricks over and over, like Jim was saying, not to put words in Jim's mouth, but over and over, another ism. Guess what? That's just another ruse to be pulled over on the people. Two clips that I wanted to play. We need to go back to the phones here in a second. The Fox segment from the Ingram angle last night, report Lisa Bloom sought donor cash for two Trump accusers. John Solomon elaborates basically on the piece that he wrote over at The Hill. And it's interesting that you see kind of what I was talking about, you know, the Ponderology effect, basically. And a woman who vacillates, apparently, in saying, I'm going to be an accuser. Oh, wait, if Donald Trump will push my product, then I will say nice things about him. Folks getting college tuition paid, houses paid off, and things like that. That's interesting. And to the video that I mentioned earlier, Jimmy over at Bright Insight, his video, This Is What They Didn't Tell You About FCC Repeal of Net Neutrality. In it, 6.5 minute mark, he says, President Trump, if you're the guy who you said you were, you need to push for one-term limits, which he expounds upon in the video. One-term limits, imagine that. He says there's no reason these people, we would get rid of a lot of nonsense if we would just have one-term limits, which is a great point and a great idea. And also to audit the FCC commissioners, including AgitPay, as I said earlier, who promoted the repeal of net neutrality, and see who is benefiting where. Again, this, you know, it's simple stuff. And I think it all really goes back to Patrick Henry's words about virtue, morality, and religion. If we lose these, we are conquered, fallen indeed. People get conscripted to evil by degrees, and suddenly here we are. And we shouldn't be surprised. Let's go back to the phones and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Wow. A great show. Renee brought up some very salient points. And also in your conversation with her, you too. I would like to see free trade, free enterprise, however we design it or call it. But in my mind, I believe is the only safe place is faith. But the Creator now winks at ignorance. You cannot be ignorant. And faith, Renee brought up a very important salient point, and that is, if and until you have the courage to look at yourself, start there first, and then you can start to have protection. Okay, that's enough for me. Give somebody else a chance. Bye, and thank you.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate it. Always appreciate hearing from you. Yeah. Speaking of free enterprise would be great. But we've been on such a drift. I really believe that, as I have emphasized in broadcasts recently, it comes down to virtue, morality, and religion. It's what we do in secret. You know, again, Jimmy's video over at Bright Insight, he puts it great. You know, how can you not be conscripted to nefarious interests if there are no term limits? You have a vested interest sort of to become a professional politician. And you know, this isn't necessarily pointing a finger at any one person. It is the nature of man. We are plagued by a sin nature, and therefore vulnerable to, susceptible to this kind of graft and corruption. So we should go back and understand why separation of powers, why checks and balances. It's for this reason. I thought it was interesting, a provocative realization just as an aside as we head out, speaking of the technology woes that we're facing and the spying and so forth, the way that things have been turned upside down is nowhere better illustrated than Eli Lake did a piece in Bloomberg, I think, on the 14th of December, if I can find that real quick. And basically what he wrote was the complete inversion of reality. The FBI scandal hiding in plain sight. It's interesting, by the way, I'll say this first. The FBI scandal hiding in plain sight. Yeah, Eli Lake, December 14th. If you're looking for a Justice Department scandal regarding Robert Mueller's investigation into Russia's influence in the 2016 election, it's hiding in plain sight. Look no further than the government's release of private texts between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. This is shocking. So those should be kept secret, even though these are government employees texting on government provided devices. But you and I should be spied on? This is the inversion of reality. This is where we are in America today. This is the sad reality of how people have been conned into flipping their thinking. What should be happening, what you should expect is the Fourth Amendment applies, that you should be secure in your person's papers, effects against intrusion, invasion of this sort. And if you work for the government or even a private corporation that provides you technology, you know, equipment, including your maybe your cell phone, or even if they pay your cell phone bill, you should expect that stuff to be scrutinized, not the opposite. Government employees should be, that should be the expectation. That information should be expected to be published at any time. They're government employees. But when we invert reality, we find ourselves in the situation we're in. We're out of time. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.